Good morning, everyone, and welcome to More Than Milestones, where we are going to help you boot your worry, be confident, and have a blast raising your happy baby. I'm so excited to be able to introduce you to my friend and colleague, Stephanie Dawn. Stephanie, welcome so much to be for being here today. Thank you so much for being here today.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Wonderful.
Awesome. Yay. So Stephanie, we're just going to jump right in because we only have 30 minutes here. And so can you just give the audience a background of where you've come from, what you're doing right now, and where your passion and vision is for this mm-hmm. population?
Yeah, definitely. So I'm the founder of what I call Sacred Birth Work, which I created in 2004 when I was first pregnant with my first child, Jasper. And the reason why I created this work was because I just found that nobody was really talking about things that I deeply cared about. And that was the spiritual landscape of what it meant to become a mom, of how I could weave my spirituality into my pregnancy and postpartum, and on it went. So I created this workshop, and I taught it for about 6 years. And then after about 6 years of teaching it locally here in Los Angeles and then in New York as well, I went to New York to teach. I brought my youngest, Zephyr, with me way back when. Then I decided that I wanted to really work with birth professionals all around the world. And so, because I knew that birth professionals would actually be the ones that would get my work to the parents. And so I started the Sacred Birth Mentor Program. And I taught within the mentor program for about 4 years. And I helped the mentees, as I called them, to really do their own work around their own lives and their own bodies and their own experiences of becoming parents. And if they weren't parents, then what it meant to sort of be the doula or be the midwife, depending on what they did for a living, as they really deepen their own awareness of what does it mean? What does sacred birth mean? You know, like, what does that really mean? Like, so it was deep discussions about the sacred nature of birth and how we could create that in our lives as birth care providers, but also as parents about to give birth. So that all sort of morphed into where I am now, which is a very organic transformation. I realized that I needed to teach the birth professionals business acumen because I didn't have it.
Isn't that how it all starts?
I didn't have it at all. And so a lot of the women that I was working with, you know, it's like we have these gifts, but we don't really know how to get them out into the world and make money doing them. So for so long, our gifts weren't monetized, right?
Yeah.
So I began teaching business to the birth professionals, and that morphed into a full-time practice as a business coach. And now what I'm doing is I'm writing a book about the sacred nature of birth. It's called Your Sacred Birth, A Visionary Guide to a New Birth Paradigm. And it's my love letter to moms. So that's where, you know, that's what that decade of work is now going into now. So
I love just the kind of segueing into the love letter to moms, because we do, yeah. we need that love, and we need to feel that power and just know, you know, and when you say doing that work, you know, people need to do the work, but I think sometimes people get a little confused about what that work is that they need to do. So can you kind of give us a little bit of that process?
Yeah, great point. Really great point. Thank you for illuminating that. So most of us go into pregnancy and birth thinking that we're going to birth in a hospital, mm-hmm. and that we're going to have a doctor, and that everything's going to be just fine. Mm-hmm. And what I've learned over the last 13, 14 years is that just isn't the case. And many of us are choosing to birth at home or birth in birth centers. And even when we make those choices to birth out of hospital, there still is work to be done in terms of our own confidence, in terms of our own feelings of empowerment, and in terms of what does it mean, the sacred nature of birth. Because to be honest with you, I really feel that birth has been desecrated in our culture by the Western medical model of care, honestly. And it's been done in under the auspices of doing good.
Yeah,
I feel like, you know, most people feel like they're doing good and they're doing right by women, but my experience and my you know, and that of many of my colleagues, is that we're really not doing right by women. And so the work to be done is for women to feel into their power before the first labor pang. Mm-hmm. No?
Don't wait till crisis mode.
Before the first contraction. And so that's my interest was, you know, it began with let's explore spirituality on the walk towards becoming parents. And then more and more it became about let's work with empowering women to know how magnificent they are. And if they decide to do this, that their bodies were made to do it and made to do it well. So it's when we start to intervene, which often happens in the hospital setting, that, things can go wrong. And so, you know, with a cascade of interventions is the term. So that's really my interest is I want to support women to understand their own power, their own physical power, their own mental, emotional, spiritual power as they move into this experience known as birth, which for me was one of the most transformational experiences of my life.
It is. No, I know. And I know that I talk to people who, you know, feel like they want to have that transformation, but are also afraid to take that step because they're afraid to lose what they had before. And so they don't necessarily want to even go there yet because it's like they feel like they're going to lose their freedom as the person that they are. And there is this transforming process of becoming a mother. And I think a lot of us, when we get home with baby, and especially when all the support kind of goes away, you know, if everyone's around you, or hopefully you've set it up so that people can be around you right away. But when everybody walks out the door and you're left alone with your baby, it's like, what happened? Who am I? Where am I? What am I supposed to do? So to kind of help that and empower people to, or empower women to be able to like hold on to that transformation and know that it's good, it's right, and be confident with it. Like, you know, how do you help people really, really get there to be able to get to that point where they can hold on to it and just be excited about it and grasping onto this new way versus pining for the old?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, well, you're right. I mean, who you have been is no longer. I mean, that's the whole transition that you've heard about, the maiden, mother, crone. And I like to insert queen in there because after motherhood, you become a queen, not a crone.
I love it.
Yeah, that's where I'm at right now. I'm not crone action here just yet, but I'm realizing that's coming at some point. But who, you know, from the maiden or what I like to call, you know, the thoroughly modern Millie, like we are these incredibly empowered women in our lives with businesses, as entrepreneurs, with our careers, etc. And then oftentimes what happens is we'll give over our power to the medical authority and then we do not have an empowered experience. So I like to help women to traverse that landscape. So that they feel empowered. But it is important to note though, Wendy, that yes, who you have been in the past is going to alter. It will change. You will transform. And who you're becoming is, it's almost like if you could look at it as in addition to, it's who you were before, but you're becoming someone new. You're becoming a mom. And so with all of that comes any issues that you might have with your own parents. Mm-hmm. So I like to look at that in my work as well. Like, you want to resolve that to the best of your ability, or at least begin the conversation around healing whatever needs to be healed connected to the way that you were parented. Yeah. So that you don't create the missteps or the wrongs of the past. And granted, like, no matter how much work you did, and I did a lot before I had my babies, it's like we still walk in the footsteps of our elders. And it's all about the conscious walk. It's all about intention. So if you have intention to be conscious around your pregnancy, your birth, becoming a parent and parenting, that's what really matters. There's going to be missteps, there's going to be difficulties because there is no manual.
One thing that just kind of like popped in my head when you were talking about that was the fact that, you know, before I had my first baby, I never actually sat down with my mom and asked her what it was like to become a mom. And like, if I had just done that and really had that conversation with her versus, I mean, I was elated. I had a hard time getting pregnant. You know, it took me a while. I had a diagnosis. They said I was never going to be able to do it naturally. And I did, you know, and so I was just so elated with the whole process and had wanted to be a mom my whole life that, you know, I never took the time to actually ask her what it was like. And I got, you know, slammed a couple of times, just like breastfeeding is harder than I thought it was going to be. I'm despite my background in child development, is my baby okay? Is this normal? You know?
Right. Yeah. 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 I mean, you know, now's the time prenatally to really gather your sisters around you, your mothers, your aunts, your friends, and really like, you know, those, especially those who have already had children, because I didn't have that. Mm-hmm. None of my friends had children. In fact, they disappeared after my babies came. And it was just like, I was very alone in the postpartum realm after the birth of both my, well, predominantly my first child. Mm-hmm. I navigated the first couple years. And I found my community, but it did take time. I was amazed at how isolated I was and how much I really had to be so active in reaching out to women to connect, because all my good friends were like off living their single lives, you know? So yeah, it's very challenging in our culture because we have these nuclear families that are far away. We don't come together to cook and care for our children and you know, do the laundry together and do the shopping together. It's like we do it all on our own. Mm-hmm. And I can remember thinking after Jasper was born, I'm like, where's the parallel universe where I'm living in community and everyone's helping me? You know, it was just like my husband at the time was away and working and I was home alone day after day after day. So, it's prenatally is the time to really be aware of this and be having these conversations now so that you can call in your community in the postpartum term.
Your stand right now is exactly what I stand for. We were never meant to raise babies alone, and yet we do. And it's funny just because, so a tactic that I just, you know, I never even thought about it before, but, you know, a lot of times, you know, I try to help parents prepare for what's going to happen after while they're still pregnant, but they're so ingrained on the pregnancy and the birth process that it's almost, you don't even have room in your head or your heart to think about what's going to happen afterwards. But if you just think about, you know, there are breastfeeding support groups everywhere. And you can find them. So maybe a pregnant mama could just go in and join a group before baby is born, just to kind of insert herself there, just to kind of get a feeling. And I don't know if that would necessarily overwhelm her or if it would just kind of help her to start her community. Because that's really what I'm trying to do is create this community before you get to crisis mode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And, I think it's important just to start the conversation, and whatever the woman decides to do for herself in terms of going to a class or, you know, this is what the beauty of doulas. I just wouldn't give birth without one. I really wouldn't. I think that, you know, doulas really were the angels of my birth. I gave birth both times with midwives, first at home and then in a hospital setting for insurance purposes. And I had doulas at both births, but I didn't realize I had a doula at my first birth because doulas weren't even a thing in, right. In 2004. I had a midwife's assistant who was trained as a doula, who came in, when I was in the midst of my active labor, and she was my angel. Like, she came in, gave me eye contact, held my hand, and reminded me of what it was that I was doing. Because I was out in that trance, like La La Land, right? Like couldn't see the other side, didn't know what was happening, you know, what's going on? Oh, right. I'm giving birth. And so, she was my angel who really helped me, just that human contact. I can't even tell you how meaningful that was to me. And then with my second birth, Amanda, she was the one who reminded me of all my intentions of laughing, of I had the intention of having an orgasmic birth, which, you know, I didn't have an orgasmic birth as we would define orgasm. But I did have a pleasurable birth experience, which I just want to drop that into our conversation for a moment here, because that in itself is a total game changer for most women. The fact that they can have a pleasurable birth experience. And so, not to say that my first birth experience wasn't pleasurable, but there were certain things that, you know, I would have liked to have designed better. But I really was focused on that because it was in a hospital setting, and I know what can happen in a hospital setting. And so it was my work to create, to have dominion over that space in the hospital, to have, you know, dominion over the room, even though, because I was in a foreign space, right? I wasn't at home like I was for my first birth. And so I did a lot of pre-work, you know, which factors into my sacred birth work, before we went to the hospital. And then I arrived there with a huge gift basket for all the nurses, telling them who I was and who my youngest, you know, my young boy Jasper was, and the name of the doula and my husband, and with all these gifts, you know. And then I had a sign on the door that said, you know, natural birth in progress, no drugs needed, please keep your voices low, doula is Amanda, mother is Stephanie, et cetera, et cetera. You know, because I really wanted to claim my space in the birth room. And I did, you know, so I had an amazing birth in a hospital setting. It was a sacred birth. And I know that that had everything to do with my intention and all the work that I did prior. And we did go up against the hospital staff about all the things that we didn't want. You know, but we felt empowered. I felt empowered to go tête-à-tête. Well, actually my husband at the time was the one who did a lot of that, but I did as well. We signed off on everything. Like, no, we're not staying 24 hours. I'm going home to my bed right now. No, I'm not getting the vitamin K shot. You know, no, you're not, you know, all the thing. There's so many things you can say no to.
Right.
The hospital has to, you know, legally they have to, you have to sign all the forms, but, it was a very empowering experience for me. And, you know, I do it again. So
that's awesome. Yeah. I remember with my first birth, it was one of those things where we had a birth coach, and someone helping me prepare for all of that. And I wanted her to be in with us in the room. And I chose to have a hospital birth, and we had our birth plan, and I wanted to be all natural. And, when it came down to the actual day, and my husband and I had talked about this several times, he did not feel comfortable having her in the room because he just internalized the birth as if it's between you and me. And I want to be the one who's there for you. And I loved him so much for that, that I said, okay, you know, and I need you to do X, Y, and Z if that's going to be the case, because I know I've done the work. I know what I need, and I need this, 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 and this. Can you do that? Yes, I can do that. Well, when it came down to it, he panicked. There was something went wrong, you know, and it, actually nothing really went wrong. All that happened was that my baby was moving a lot. She hadn't dropped down. My water broke before anything. Was the first thing to have happened. Then I went into labor, but you know, she wasn't dropping. She was moving a ton, and she moved away from the monitor, which they wouldn't take off of me. And so this whole crew comes running in, the baby's crashing, the baby's crashing, you know, and it's like, no, she's not, she's moving. But just that energy shifted him, and it shifted me. And not having that extra support person to kind of bring us back to everything's good, everything's fine, we missed that. And so we did end up with a cascade of interventions. I did end up giving birth vaginally, but I had a lot of other interventions beforehand to get there. And afterwards, I mean, it was beautiful, amazing. But he came up to me after we got home from the hospital, and he's like, I understand now why you wanted someone. and why you needed someone, because I really thought I could be all of those things for you, but really all I wanted to be was your husband and your lover and a new dad. I didn't want to be a coach. And he's like, from now on, whoever you want in that room. And my second and my third births were amazing, natural, like, you know, I had the support there and so calm. And it just, and so there was a part of me that almost felt like a, or it did, I did feel like a failure because I didn't do it to plan. I got over that. But, you know, if I could just help empower those mamas and those papas who really need to take that step to feel good about having someone extra in the room, do it. It yeah, makes absolutely. All the difference.
Yeah, what a great story, Wendy. Wow. Yeah, so I some of what you're saying here, I just want to speak to for a moment, because I want to just, you know, what you're describing here is what I would term, I really feel like we are moving from one paradigm to the other in birth right now as we speak. And what you're describing is what I would term the old paradigm of birth, because there is a way, even though you had a great outcome, and I'm so glad that you did, for everyone involved, the vaginal birth that you intended.
Yeah.
I do feel that if it had midwives been in the room, they would have handled what was going on differently. And this is the midwifery model of care is the model of care. This is what I wish. This is my hope and my dream. Okay. That the midwifery model of care is merged with the Western medical model of care where birth is concerned, and that doctors and midwives can consult and confer about what is the next best thing, because far too often panic and fear ensue and negative things can happen. And that is just, you know, that is what I absolutely did not want to see happen with my births in the hospital at all. And I'm grateful that, you know, it didn't happen to me. That's not to say that it couldn't have, it absolutely could have. But I, you know, in my dream, my ideal perfect world scenario, doctors would be, doctors and midwives would be working together to understand the two models of care, because they're disparate now. Yeah. And that's such a shame to me. You know, I feel blessed that I worked with midwives for my second birth at the hospital. They have a team of midwives at UCLA. And so that was a great experience. But oftentimes that's just not the case with hospitals around the United States and the world. Yeah. So that's my dream, putting it out there.
Well, and honestly, going forward with my third child, by the time I had my third children, I gave birth at the same hospital, they had midwives.
They didn't
with my first. For my third, I don't even know about my second. My second one was so incredibly beautiful. It was insane. Like, very much pleasurable birth. You know, my third one got nice. Kind of intense a little bit, but it went so fast. But what I ended up not realizing is that they're like, you're ready to push. I was like, what? No, how could that be? You know, I was just at, you know, 6 centimeters and now I'm ready to push. Like, how did that? I'm like, no wonder that was intense. But what I realized at that point was there was no doctor in the room and there didn't need to be. Right. And so that was for my third birth, that the doctor was not present. It was the midwife delivering the baby and the doctor was doing rounds, making sure that there were no problems. But a woman giving birth is not a problem. It's not an illness. So that I have to say, my hospital has done an amazing job with that shift. And so I see what you're saying, and I think that the model is growing, and we just need to keep the education out there and having people demand it. You know, when they take exactly. their hospital tours, do you have midwives? Who delivers the baby? You know?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah, I just, you know, I love midwives so much, and I just am so grateful for all that they do and all that they endure, you know, just day in and day out. I have a lot of respect for midwives and doctors too, but I really just, I have to lift the midwives
Absolutely.
For the purposes of our conversation.
Absolutely. Now, I know our plan was to kind of go in a little bit to postpartum depletion and how we can use nutrition, and we only have a couple of minutes left, but I wanted to hit upon that because we did talk a bit about the postpartum just getting hit over the head And part of that can be that we are depleted. So we have about, a little over 5 minutes, can we just kind of dive right into kind of what you would recommend for people?
Yeah, definitely. So ever since I started teaching the sacred birth work, I always brought in organic living, organic produce, and eating the rainbow.
Yes.
And I used to live on an organic farm 25 years ago, and that was my organic education completely. And I knew that when I had a child that I really wanted to, of course, have the purest food for them. I mean, what mother doesn't, right? Mm-hmm. And so so I was blessed just a couple years ago to find this nutrition that is non-GMO, organic. In addition to all the various products and produce that I buy at the grocery store, because I was really missing, like 10 years postpartum, I was missing the daily nutritional piece. Even though I had all the understanding of organics, I was more concerned about getting those organic strawberries into my children's mouth than I was in getting them into my own mouth.
Yep.
Right? Can you relate?
Yes, absolutely. So, I mean, I don't even know what I eat sometimes, but my kids look good.
So it was a total blind spot for me. And 2 years ago, I was 30 pounds overweight. I was having wicked hot flashes because I'm perimenopausal, I'm 52. And I was healing from frozen shoulder condition, which was quite serious. And so I found this nutrition, a client of mine connected me with it, and it really just completely changed my life. And so for me, the portal to understanding the importance of daily organic non-GMO nutrition was weight loss and, the other things I mentioned. But for some of my girlfriends that have been enjoying this nutrition, they have been healing extreme postpartum depletion, depression, adrenal fatigue, and they've completely they don't recognize themselves. I mean, their marriages were on the line. It was bad, So what I know, what I've known for all these years is that food heals. Yeah. And what I know now even more so with the introduction of this nutrition into my life and the life of my friends and colleagues and clients is that this is where it all starts. Mm-hmm. Postpartum depletion and depression is rampant in our culture, and nobody's talking about the nutritional connection. They're talking about, the mind and the psyche and all that, but we really need to be talking about nutrition. Obviously prenatally, but even prenatally, there wasn't a lot for me 13 years ago.
You're eating for two.
Take your folic acid pills and take your multivitamin. And it was just like, okay, that was pretty minimal. So anyways, we've got a long way to go still. And so I talk about it now because I deeply care about women being the heart of the family and really the heart of our culture. I mean, we are the ones that determine so much of what percentage of our income is spent out in the world. And so I'm part of what's called the Million Moms Movement. And I'm looking for 1,000 moms in 100 cities to reach out to 10 women who want to turn their pantries cleaner and greener. Mm-hmm. So that really inspires me. When we moms are suffering, everyone suffers.
Yes, this is true.
Everyone, everything in our life, our families, our businesses, we cannot do what we're here to do. And we have great, great work, holy work, sacred work to do here on planet Earth. And so now I have the energy that I had from 15 years ago before I had kids. I'm rollerblading again. Wow, I am the woman I was before I had kids. And I want that for every woman, I want that prenatally, and I definitely want it in the postpartum term where it really matters in those first few months and years after babies here on planet Earth. So
I love it. Yeah. So if there was one thing that you would do to for clearing out that pantry, what I know that's really hard putting you on the spot for that, but what nutritionally is really depleted in us postpartum that we really need to focus on making sure that it's part of our diet?
Okay, so the whole idea of taking a multivitamin and getting all your vitamins and minerals is just really, to me, that's a very small thing you can do. Mm-hmm. The one thing that I would get out of your pantry is sugar. Mm-hmm. You know, just sugar can create edema in when you're pregnant. It can let your body think that it's getting the nutrition that it needs, but it's really not. And what I would do to replace that is I would replace it with, presently, I mean, I'm all about the superfoods. Chlorella, spirulina is nature's daily vitamin. All the greens, you know, all the greens, whether you're getting them in a supplement form or in a, just cooking with more vegetables. I now roast vegetables like every week. And if I don't eat them initially in those first couple meals, I have them to throw into salads, just to boost my salads, especially now that we're going into the colder months, like having cooked vegetables is actually better constitutionally. So, it's all about the greens for me, you know? Spirulina, chlorella, wheatgrass, and you can get these. You don't have to like juice them yourself. You can get them in a supplemental formula that you could put into your smoothies or your shakes or whatever you're already doing. Personally, I have a lot of back-to-back clients that I work with, and so having a green shake right there for me to just like, you know, shoot back is really, really helpful for me. And then, you know, that's 10 to 12 servings right there of vegetables. And if I do get to having my vegetables that day, then that's a bonus. If I don't, then I've had what I need, my daily nutritional dose, which is, coming back to where I wasn't just a couple years ago. So,
it's easy for people to do it.
Yeah, it's got to be about convenience.
Yeah.
I mean, for me, it's about the fast food. You know, we live in a fast food culture, and my current fast food is my green shakes. So, and you know, proud mom moment, my son Zephyr, his friend invited him to Taco Bell the other day, and he said, "Oh, I don't eat fast food." I was like, "Oh, maybe you do. You have your green shakes. That's fast food."
That's fast food. There you go. It's like, oh, okay. Different kinds of fast food. Oh, perfect. Yeah. I love it. I could talk to you forever. And I know that we could just like dive deeper and deeper. But I do need to sign off soon. So is there any like final thoughts that you want to leave with our audience?
Yeah, thank you for asking. Mm-hmm. So I would say that the very heart of my sacred birth work and the very heart of this book that I'm writing, my love letter to moms, is to become acquainted with your own inner authority, that you are powerful beyond measure, and that you know what's best for yourself, for your body, for your baby, and for your family. Ask the experts, get their opinion, and then come back to your own heart. And it's there that you will find what is right for you.
Trust.
Whether we're talking about birth or nutrition or, you know, the landscape of parenting. Yeah. That's what I want your listeners, your viewers to know.
I love it. Just trust. I love it. I love it. Thank you. All right, you guys. It was so great speaking with you, Stephanie. And thank you for being here today.
My pleasure.
We are going to be done for today, and we are going to see you again tomorrow. So you guys have an absolutely beautiful day, and we will see you soon. Thanks for being here. Bye.
Bye-bye.